I'm Kayla Ali, and this is the Ali Perspective. And welcome back, you guys. Okay, let's start off with how the college football season ended. We ended with Ohio State winning the Natty. Now, when Ohio State and Notre Dame was slated to be the matchup, I already knew Ohio State was going to win. Ohio State, they just have the higher firepower. I mean, and Ohio State proved was when you spend $20 million on your offense, you can win the Natty. And so I guess we're going to see if teams are going to decide if they're going to spend that money or not. Okay, so it's going to be a really interesting offseason for college football. And I think the biggest team that we need to look at is going to be the University of North Carolina with Bill Belichick as their head coach. That's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out and how that goes down. Is he going to turn UNC to a powerhouse? Well, we're going to know them for way more than basketball. I guess we shall see. But shout out to the Buckeyes, Ohio, and it was a great college football season, and I'm excited to see what next season holds, especially with how NIL is going, and every year it seems to be getting bigger and bigger and bigger, as well as the transfer portal. Things seems to be shaking up every year, every summer. It gets very interesting. So I'll keep you updated throughout with if there are any big transfer portal guys and where they're going and how I think they're fitting their system. So over the next few weeks, I'll keep an eye on that and I'll keep you guys posted on how that goes. So like I said, shout out to the Ohio State Buckeyes and congratulations on winning the 2025 NCAA football championship. Now, on to the NFL. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to do a show last week. So what I missed or what we weren't able to talk about was basically if I thought the Bills were going to finally beat the Chiefs. And I thought this was going to be the Bills beat the Chiefs. But like I said, it's hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes, and he continues to prove why you should not bet against him, okay? And shout out to the Philadelphia Eagles who put a whooping on the Commanders. I mean, the Commanders are the worst rushing defense in the league, and the Philadelphia Eagles scored 7 rushing touchdowns on them and ran for over 250 yards, if I'm not mistaken. I know Saquon Barkley finished today with 15 carries, 113 yards, and 3 touchdowns on the day. So our Super Bowl matchup is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, this is a rematch from 2 years ago. And Jalen Hurts is the only quarterback in the Super Bowl era to throw for 4 touchdowns and not win a Super Bowl. So I don't get all the criticism when it comes to Jalen Hurts and how he performs. Okay, so I kind of went ahead of myself there, guys. So I'm going to back it up just a little bit, okay, about the storylines going into this Super Bowl. I'll start with the Philadelphia Eagles, okay? So the Philadelphia Eagles are making it back to the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years. The first year, going into the regular season, they had a pretty decent run game with Miles Sanders, and everything looked to be on the up and up. But in the Super Bowl, they just decided to air it out, and it worked out for them. I mean, they scored 35 points. Jalen Hurts threw 4 touchdowns, and the only reason why they really lost that game was because a very questionable pass interference flag was thrown. And when you look at it, it really could have been either or. But in that situation, if I'm the ref, I wouldn't have thrown the flag. But that's the only reason why Jalen Hurts and the Eagles are not, you know, Super Bowl champions from that year. But their run game really went away in the Super Bowl. This team offensively is still the same, except for Travis Kelce is no longer the center, but they still have the strongest, most powerful offensive line in the NFL. But running behind this offensive line now is Saquon Barkley, a 2,000-yard rusher who I think they should have let break the single-season record for most rushing yards in a season, but that's here nor there, and that is over with, okay? So I think the key to the Philadelphia Eagles winning this game is definitely going to be if they can continue to run the ball and have success. They didn't have success in the past against the Chiefs in the run game, but this isn't Miles Sanders. This is Saquon Barkley, okay? And with that offensive line and with Jalen Hurts proving to us in that last game that, hey, he can still stand in the pocket and throw the ball and be able to distribute the ball to Dallas Goedert, A.J. Brown, and Smitty, as well as having being able to hand the ball to Saquon and let Saquon just do what he do, I think the Eagles have a very good shot of beating the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay? And I'm going to say two more things before I move on to the Kansas City Chiefs. One, I do not get all the criticism that Jalen Hurts have been receiving. People saying that he's not that good of a quarterback. He can't throw the ball. He can't stand in the pocket. He's not accurate. Yada, 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 yada. All I know is this season, from last season, he needed correct on turnovers. And he has brought that number way down. Okay? And on top of that, he has been able to, when he needs to throw the ball and get the ball to his wideouts, he has been able to. When they need him to make that type of play, he has been able to make that type of play. But when your run game is as good as it is, there's no reason for you to throw the ball 35, 40 times a game. It just isn't. So, of course, his numbers aren't going to be as flashy. They aren't going to be as prominent. You're not going to get him throwing 4 to 5 touchdowns a game. It's just not going to happen because their run game is so dominant. When they need to make a play, they can give it to Saquon. Saquon has, what, 6 to 7 touchdowns over 60 yards this season? Why you need your quarterback to throw it that much when your running back is doing that? And your offensive line is making space for your running back to do that consistently. And I even saw improvement in Jalen Hurts from the LA game to the Commanders game where when he was trying to extend plays, he just threw the ball away. Whereas against the Rams, he was taking sacks. So I think that even in his improvement from in the playoffs, I think they have a really good shot of beating the Chiefs. And even on the defensive side, I like their defense. They have a swarm defense mentality. This defense is young. The defense from 2 years ago was a little bit older, a little bit more mature and seasoned in their play. But with Vic Fangio as a defensive coordinator and what he's been able to do with these young players, I think that defense, there's a reason that's the number one defense in the league. That's a reason they have allowed the least amount of points in the NFL. There's a reason they have caused some of the most turnovers this season. Okay, the way when you watch their defense fly around, it's always multiple people around the ball. The way Howie Roseman has put that defense together and then going out and get Vic Fangio to put them in the right spot. I mean, they go out and sign Zach Bond, who was a special teamer for the Saints for about 4 or 5 years, and now he's an all-pro linebacker. Look at the rookies. DeJean and Quinnen Mitchell. Quinnen Mitchell and DeJean are both nominees for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Slay, he's older, but he's making plays. Like, this is a really good Eagles team, and I think they have a really good shot of going to the Super Bowl and stopping the Chiefs from making history by being the first NFL team to three-peat. Now, switching over to the Chiefs side, they have Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. In the first 6, 7 seasons of his career right now, and I might be messing up on that number, so please excuse me, he has proven to me that you can't bet against him. It's really hard to bet against him. Even though you might not want him to win, it's hard to bet against him because he always finds ways to win the game. Like, if there's any time left on the clock and the offense and Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City's offense and Patrick Mahomes is on the field, oh, I'm like, yeah, they're going to win. Like, they're going to make the play that they need to make to win the game. And it has not failed yet, okay? I mean, and their defense, Chris Jones in that middle, oh, he's a game wrecker. He is a game record. Their secondary is solid. They have good inside linebacker play. Their wide receivers make plays when they need to make plays. And their running game is solid. I mean, you got Steve Spagnuolo always makes the right adjustments. He always knows what plays to call, when to dial up a blitz. He knows how to put his defensive players in position to make plays. And somehow they always find the recipe to win. If the Eagles don't get fancy and continue to do what they have been doing all season, I think the Eagles will win the Super Bowl and stop the Chiefs from being the first NFL team to make a three-peat. And I know I said that it is redundant and it is crazy to bet against Patrick Mahomes. And I'm not even really betting against them. I just think on paper, the Eagles are the better team. And I think that they are going to win. But deep down inside, I know the Chiefs are going to find a way to win that game. Okay? And I hope to sit back after the Super Bowl and we might say a little something different. But, and I don't know what it is, but when coordinators face the Chiefs, they think they got to go in with a completely different game plan and deviate from what they've been doing all season and what has worked for them. They think they need something new and it doesn't work. So if I'm the Eagles, do what you have been doing all season. Make them make you have to change the game plan. Don't already go in expecting to change the game plan. Make them make you change the game plan, if that makes sense. Okay? But I think the Eagles win the Super Bowl. Okay? I think the Eagles win the Super Bowl. And I think Jalen Hurts gets his first Super Bowl ring. Okay? So, that's all I have today on football and how that goes. And hopefully I'll be back to, you know, we'll see how things go. We'll see how things go and how the Super Bowl goes. And I'll also keep my eye on injury reports because I know the Eagles offensive line was really banged up, but they were able to push through against the Commanders. So I'll keep an eye on that and I'll report to you guys to let you know how things are going to shift on their offensive line and how that's going to work.
You've got mail.
All right. He was off for a week, but oddly enough, he ain't had but two emails. One of them is a two-part email.
Okay.
It's, hey, Caleb, great show. Do you think that I'm reading this wrong. I'm sorry. Is Patrick Mahomes the Michael Jordan of this era, in a sense of he would have denied the most Hall of Famers from getting a championship? Or, and the second part is, that being the case, is Lamar Jackson the Allen Iverson of this football era?
I agree with that first statement. I think you're going to have a lot of good quarterbacks who don't win a Super Bowl because Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen, as well as Lamar Jackson, are in that same conference with him. So they're going to have battles with him. And he seems to always win those battles in the playoffs. Josh and Lamar can win those battles in the regular season, but not the playoffs. And Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, even though their careers are young, I wholeheartedly believe that they're going to be Hall of Famers someday. Like, they're definitely going to have some gold jackets. As well as Joe Burrow, like quarterbacks like that. The Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes is just that guy. So I agree. I think he is the Michael Jordan of that. But I do think Lamar is going to get one ring. I think he's going to get one. Simple fact is because in football, like, Tom Brady didn't win every single year because there were times where injuries or just other things with his team that didn't line up that allowed him to win.
Okay, and they lost to the Giants. They had the best team in football.
Yeah.
They just got beat.
they just got beat. You know what I'm saying? Like,
as a Giants fan, I'm here to tell you.
Yeah. You know, Eli has beaten Brady, you know, twice. So I think Josh and I think Lamar are going to get a ring. I just think that they're going to get rings when the Chiefs are at their worst. I don't know if they can beat the Chiefs when the Chiefs are at their best. So, yeah, that's the but I do think, like I said, I do think Josh Allen and I do think Lamar are going to get one ring, but I don't see them getting multiple rings.
Okay. And then what about the second part? The second question, second part of that question is Lamar Jackson, Allen Iverson era in football.
Yes, as of right now, yes. And I don't know what killed him this time was the two turnovers. If he didn't have those two turnovers, and I know people are saying Mark Jackson too, Mark Andrews as well for dropping that two-point conversion, and those two turnovers and that drop is what stopped him. But it seems like he always makes mistakes early in the game, in the playoffs, and then when he makes up for it, something happens that keeps him from falling short, from completely making that over. But as of now, yeah, he's the Allen Iverson. But I think he is going to have one year where all the marbles just fall into place, and he's going to get one.
I think that's this year.
Yeah.
Got Derrick Henry on the contract.
Mm-hmm.
All the wide receivers, they're probably not. They don't have to. No. Probably got to get a number one receiver.
I think depending on how quickly Zay Flowers can come back from his injury, and then how they do in the draft, because you know every year there's one player that no one has talked about or no one expected to be as good, and I think if they can go out and get that player offensively, like as a wide receiver, I think they'll be good.
Next question. Do you think that the blowout in the national championship degraded it in the sense of the competition? This question is because as I sat there and watched it, I was like, I'd rather have watched a four team deal than all of that to get to, like, we watched all these games to get to this.
Yeah.
We got two more emails, but all of that to get to this. Do you think it, like, degraded that?
No, because that year that Georgia beat the brakes off of TCU, that was another national championship game where it was just like, oh, my God. But, I mean, TCU, look who TCU beat to get to that championship against Georgia. It just so happened that team was just so much better than TCU at that moment. And I think the national championship games, it's always a toss-up of if you're going to get a close game or if you're going to get a blowout, because in college, it sometimes luck is on your side. And sometimes matchups play even more of a critical part in college football than I think in NFL. So I would say no. Because we saw a lot of blowouts and then we saw a lot of close games. So the whole 12-team playoff, it was legit just a toss-up of if you're going to get a close game or if you're going to get a blowout. And I think that just sums up college, because there were a lot of college games this season that should have been blowouts that turned into really close games. And there was a lot of really close games that people anticipated that turn into blowouts. So I think college is just that extreme of either you're going to get a close game or you're going to get a blowout, and you just never know.
Okay. I got a from Richard here, an email from Richard. Hey, Kayla, Georgia fan here. What are your thoughts on Carson Beck committing to Miami instead of going into the draft where he could have been a first-round pick?
I think Carson knew what his draft stock was going to be. And he didn't like it. I don't think Carson Beck is a first round talent. I don't think anybody had him going in the first round. And especially with the injury he sustained in the elbow, I don't think that his last season at Georgia, it wasn't that spectacular. It wasn't like, this guy is a first rounder. It didn't scream that. And I think he knew that now. And I also think that he knew he could make more money signing an NIL deal with Miami for 1 year. Now, do I think he's going to be super good at Miami? No, I don't. I think Miami thinks that they have a recipe where they think they can go out and get seasoned quarterbacks to come right in, start immediately, and take their program to the next, you know, get their program up and running, basically. Well, not up and running, because Cam Ward did a great job. It just, the defense sucked. And I think they think they can do that same thing with Carson Beck, but I don't even see Carson. Next year he could possibly be, like, there's some improvement there, but like I said, with the elbow injury, I just honestly think he knew that his draft stock was not going to be as high as he thought it was going to be coming into the season.
Okay. Well, the $3 million that Miami offered him, that didn't hurt.
No, not at all.
He wasn't going to make that as a rookie anyway.
No.
Do you think that the NIL money that the kids are getting in college now is completely eviscerating people wanting to leave early to go to the pros when, you know, the rookie caps are just, you're not going to get paid a $3 million for 1 year.
Mm.
But in essence, what, 10 games, 10 yeah. 12 games, rather than 500 or maybe $1 million for 17 games, those of which you might sit the bench?
Absolutely. I mean, I think before NIL, you had a bunch of guys who were like, I could stay and improve my draft stock, but then I'm afraid of getting hurt and then me losing out on money, or I'm afraid I don't have such a good season as my junior year, so I'd rather go out now and then see what money I can make. But now with NIL, no. If I know I'm not where I need to be and I can stay in college and improve on that and make more money than what I would on my rookie contract, a lot of people are staying. A lot more people are staying. And then you got to think, this money isn't going to be taxed as heavily as it would in the NFL. Because how they're structuring these NIL contracts, is not like you're getting the $3 million from one place, which in the NFL, you're getting that $3 million from the organization, and they're going to tax that out of one thing. Whereas, they're spacing those kids' money out, so they aren't taxed as much. And they're getting way more money up front as they are, as opposed to going to the draft. So of 100%. Unless you undoubtedly know you are going to be a first rounder after your junior year, those are the players that after 3 years, they're out, they're gone. But the ones who are on the fence, they're staying a lot more. Prime example, Cam Ward could have gone in the draft last year, and I think he would have been drafted. Probably, I would say he would have been drafted in late third, early fourth round, coming from Washington State. But when he realized that, hey, Miami's going to give me $3.5 million. I can stay and improve my draft stock. Now people are talking about him being the number one draft pick or top three draft pick. So that signing bonus, like, he stayed to make an extra $3 million, and that extra $3 million that he made can easily turn into a $20 million signing bonus with him being a first round, top five draft pick. So, yeah, a lot of these kids are going to stay in college longer because they'll be able to make money and turn that money into more money.
That's the thing. I think that's the major part, is that they're taking that money and turning it into more money. All mm-hmm. right, we got a Pittsburgh fan asked, Russ or Fields, who you keep?
I think you look to the future and you hand over the keys to Justin. And I think you tell Russell, we would love for you to stay mentor, but it's Justin's team. That, because you have to start looking to the future. And I love Russ, and I want Russ to have success. I really do. But Russ is also 37 years old. You ain't got much longer. The Steelers just need to hand over the keys to Justin, build around Justin, go out, get another wide receiver, continue to build your offensive line, go out, you draft defensive players really well, continue to do that, and then you build from that. But Justin is your guy. I don't think you're going to find your guy in the draft this year. I don't think. I think the best quarterbacks are going to be taken quick, fast, and hurry. And every year the Steelers are, what, down in the 20s?
Yeah, they are picking, I can tell you right now, they are picking 21.
Yeah, no, you're not going to find your franchise quarterback at 21. Not in this draft. Not in this draft, you're not. I say, even if you do decide to draft up to make a trade and possibly get higher, I wouldn't even go for a quarterback. I think you go with Justin Fields. I think if you trade up, you're going to get a wide receiver. Pick George Pickens needs help in that wide receiver room. He needs help bad. You go out and you find him a wide receiver.
Yeah, all the mock drafts I looked at got him taking Luther Burden III out of Missouri.
I can see that. He kind of fell off.
That's what I'm saying.
Golden
had a better season from Texas.
Yes, but I think he fell off because of quarterback play, not necessarily his doing. More so quarterback play. But if he's not there and Golden from Texas is there, then I'm going Golden.
They got Golden picked right after him, actually, by the Chargers. So, I just...
Because for the Steelers, that's 1A and 1B.
1A, 1B.
Yeah.
But I don't think either one's a franchise receiver, though. Neither one's a franchise receiver, and you already don't have a franchise receiver there.
The only person, and I probably need to delve into this draft class receivers a little bit more. Only one that I honestly could see being a franchise is guy from Arizona, Nate. I can't remember his name right now.
This mock draft doesn't have him. Yeah.
Yeah.
McMillan,
him.
Yeah. Victoria McMillan.
Yes.
They got him going 6 to the Raiders.
Okay, yeah. He's the only one that I can see being a friend because of his route running abilities, his ability to catch the ball. He can catch the ball with his body. He can catch the ball with his hands. He can locate the ball very well. He can stick his foot in the ground. Like, I think all around, he's a great receiver. He's the only one I can see coming and making an immediate impact at the wide receiver position. But anybody else, I think that there'll be a good 2 to Pickens out of Golden and Burden.
It is. I got you. Been scrolling. Luther Burden.
Yeah, yeah. I think those guys are your number two. Your number two. Like, you're looking for wide receiver number 2 when you in this draft.
I just don't know where Pittsburgh goes because what's about to look up free agent.
Only notable free agent coming off the top of my head is T. Higgins. And you're going to have to pay him.
Yeah, but I would say they could pay him.
But see, the thing is, Pittsburgh don't want to pay the offense. If you look at Pittsburgh, like how their team is set up, all the money is on the defensive side of the ball. They don't pay money on the offensive side of the ball. And I don't understand why, because this is an offensive-driven league.
Yeah.
And
now, an interesting pickup. Well, I think T. Higgins, like you said, he would be a number one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you bring him in. I think he's been – I don't think he's had any issues at Cincinnati.
Nope.
He's been good.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Godwin, I think, is intriguing.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's a number one.
No.
And Amari Cooper's number one days are behind him.
Yeah.
And then Stephon Diggs, that's the top four. top and five he's coming off DeAndre Hopkins. The fifth and, one is DeAndre Hopkins.
And Diggs is coming off of an ACL injury. Now, if you don't want to pay somebody, then those four guys are your people. Like, if you, like, if it, but you got to dish out money on the offensive side of the ball. You have to.
Well, Keenan Allen also is available.
Yeah, but.
But he's not a number. No, there's no number one.
No.
In here. Like, no. T. Higgins, I don't think is a number one.
I think he can be. I think it's just he's teammates with Ja'Marr Chase.
Ain't nobody a number one, Ja'Marr Chase.
Ain't nobody, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. But I think he has all the tangibles and all the skills to be a number one on another team. It's just, that's just not his predicament.
I just want to give a shout out to the BEZ of the DJ Blaze radio show. He's a big Pittsburgh fan. He's a fan of yours too. Mm-hmm. Last question here. Mm-hmm. As we talk about the draft, this person is in the draft. First quarterback, you're running the Tennessee Titans. Who mm-hmm. are you taking? Shador? Or are you taking Cam?
Cam. I'm taking Cam.
Every mock draft has Shador. Every mock draft. There's not one mock draft that has Cam. But I trust you more than.
I'm going with Cam just for his ability to his poise in the pocket or his ability to make the right play. And over the throughout the season, I saw him get better at that because he would play hero ball and try to make that play. And I think that's why people don't have him as the number one is because in the beginning of the season, he will make that throw across the body that they tell all quarterbacks not to make, and it will get picked off. But as the season progressed, he stopped making those plays and started making the right play. Shador, the reason why I don't have Shador number one is because I don't know what Shador is like without his dad as the coach.
I think that's the crapshoot. Like, that's the crap. It's like, how what's he going to be like if his dad is not coaching him?
And I don't think this kid is a prima donna like how some people try to portray him in the media. I think he's a student of the game. I think he's a good quarterback. Like, to me, they're 1A, 1B. I think whoever
this is a
win-win.
Now, like most mock drafts have him going one to the Titans and Cam Ward going three to the Giants. Now, as a Giants fan, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Although I my thoughts would have been take Travis Hunter at three
mm-hmm.
and then take quarterback from Alabama in the second round.
Yeah.
That's probably what I would do because neighbors needs help
mm-hmm.
on the outside. And that's Travis Hunter, somebody who could play. I don't know where you would primarily put him
mm-hmm.
Because he is the best wide receiver and he is the best cornerback.
And I think pairing him up with neighbors as a Giants fan, because honestly, you can put either or on the outside or either or in slot.
Yeah, in the slot. But they already have a good slot receiver in Robinson.
Yeah.
He's gonna get the little screens, the mm-hmm. little bump screens, the little slants, the little corner. Like, so you put one on one side, one on the other side, and you got Robinson running in the middle. You got a little something going. But, you know, like I always say, the Giants will never ask them. I don't think they read my letters.
But I think, like I said, me personally is Cam Ward. And like I said, the outlier with Shador to me is just how is he going to – I'm not saying that he's uncoachable either. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I just don't know how that looks without his dad, especially when your dad has coached you literally your entire life.
Yes, from peewee.
From peewee, middle school, high school, college. Like, that has been his coach. That's been his guy. So I just don't know how that's going to look. But I think he's going to, and also between him and Cam, it's just going to be who goes into the better situation. Who's going to go into with the team that's going to build around them appropriately.
That's the next thing.
That's also the next thing. Because I don't think either one is going to prosper if they don't go to a team that's going to build around them accordingly.
Well, that's all you got for this week, Kayla.
Yep. So join me next week, guys, as we dive into what to expect. Well, like I said, I'll come back with some injury reports so we can kind of see how things are looking for the Chiefs and the Eagles. And next week, we'll dive in a little bit into about basketball. And I'll check in so you guys can see how the new Women's Basketball League is doing, how ratings are, how coaching is, who's leading the league, all that good stuff, okay? So, once again, I'm Kayla Ali. This is the Ali Perspective. And make sure you like, comment, subscribe, and email me your questions, guys. I love answering them. See you next week.